Well, the story goes that one day this woman went to visit her friend, as usually women like to do, go visit their girlfriends. You know, and while they were together, her friend's five-year-old son pulled out his kindergarten class picture, you know, with all the kids on there and the teacher and everything, and he began to introduce all the kids in the class to this woman, you see. He goes, "This over here, this is Robert. He hits everyone. And over here, this is Stephen, and he never listens to the teacher. This one over here, that's Sally, and she's very grumpy and calls people's names." And then he pointed to himself over here, and he says, and that's, this is me here, and I'm just sitting there. It's minding my own business. And of course, from a innocent five-year-old perspective, you know, we kind of chuckle at that a little bit. But if that was in the adult world, you know, could you imagine that at a business meeting, pulling out the staff photos? Over here, this is, you know, we'd call that gossip mixed with a dash of slander. And most people don't think it's all that much funny. You know, as a matter of fact, they usually hire lawyers after that. And so today, with all that in mind, we're going to talk about the problem of gossip and slander, all under this umbrella title of whisperer. And I'll get to the meaning of that title in a few minutes. But for now, let's just remember that words have the power of life and death. They have the power for much good or much evil. And God's desire is for all of us to learn how to control our speech so that the words that we say bring about life. And when it comes to things like gossip and slander, those are not the kinds of words that bring about healing in life. Those words are rather ugly and destructive. And that got me to thinking a little bit about what is it about gossip and slander that attracts people to it. I mean, just think about supermarket tabloids. Yeah, they still make them. You can go through Winco or whatever, stand there in line, and you can look at these things. And most people that buy them, they don't even believe the stories in them anyway, but they like to read them. They just find them amusing or something. Or maybe stuff on Facebook, you know, because half the stuff on there is stuff, you know, stuff that people make up and then ask you to pass along to everyone in your Facebook friend list, okay? And while you might be smart enough to know if something isn't true, unfortunately, not everyone is as smart as you, okay? And even if you, you know, even if what you read about someone is true, you know, that could be damaging information in more than one way. So we need to be careful with that. You see, the problem with that is that once something has been said or written, true or untrue, it can't be unsaid. I have a degree. Unsaid or unwritten. You know, sure, you could say that you're sorry, right, when you get caught saying something that was bad about someone, but the damage is already done. And even on social media, you can delete a post, you can delete a tweet, but the internet is bigger than your phone or your tablet or your computer, so someone somewhere probably knows what you wrote and maybe even has a copy of what you wrote. So, it's hard to escape from that. But are you whispering? Are you whispering? You think, well what is whispering? What is this whispering about? Well, you see, in the Hebrew, one of the words translated as gossip is halak. And that's in Proverbs 11:13, for example, where we read that a gossip betrays a confidence. And someone who's halak is someone who goes about from one person to another person, just sharing their tale over and over again. Another word translated as gossip is nirgam. And nirgam, like in Proverbs 16:28, is where we read that a gossip separates close friends. And nirgam carries with it this idea of whispering. But this kind of whispering is not quiet talk, but it's a whispering that's damaging. It's a murmuring, it's a mumbling. It involves secret attacks on a person's character. And when we turn to the pages of the New Testament and look at the Greek word for gossip as far as the equivalent, we see that it's pisoustristes. That's a tough one to say. pistustrates, okay? Like in Romans 1:29, we begin with that sound, ps, okay? Now, if you're thinking Harry Potter and parcel tongue, if you're, you know, you're close, because that sound sounds a whole lot like a snake going ps, right? But it also is what people usually go when they try to, like, ps, hey, ps, you know, they're going to want to pass along a secret in a hushed tone. And so that's where we get this idea. Even the serpent, you kind of have this vision or this idea of Adam and Eve in the garden and the serpent whispering into Eve's ear. Psst, psst, psst. Hey, you know, you remember what God said, you know, back in the garden. Now, I think as long as someone has a good godly conscience, you've probably reflected about a conversation that you were having or had and wondered, am I whispering? Am I gossiping or slandering right now as I'm saying what I'm saying? Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know, should I be listening to what this other person is saying to me? Are the things that they're sharing with me considered gossip or slander? One good way to figure that out is to ask yourself, would I be comfortable if this person that we're talking about were to walk in our conversation, you know? Or would the conversation all of a sudden come to a screeching halt when they asked, so what are you guys talking about? Now, that all said, if we're going to avoid gossip and slander, then it's important for us to understand just what gossip and slander really are. You see, at its most basic, gossip involves simply talking about someone who's not present at the time that you're talking about them. It involves sharing information about someone that isn't, well, appropriate, if you will, to share. Slander, on the other hand, is a bit of a step beyond gossip. You see, while gossip is often done in the context of idle, careless chatter, slander is the open, intentional sharing of damaging information. Slander is speaking against someone with the explicit intent of damaging their reputation. So to speak negatively about someone with the sole purpose of leaving a unfavorable impression, of undermining the reputation and trying to turn other people against them, well, you know, that's slander, okay? So you have to ask yourself, am I whispering? Are you gossiping or slandering? Well, we want to hope not, right? Still, people do it, and quite habitually, too. So why do they do it? Well, here's why I think people whisper. First, there's this lure of curiosity. Think about it. The countless hours that people spend looking for or reading the news, quote unquote, you know, on our phones or tablets or computers or papers or magazines. And it all happens because of our natural curiosity. But just like everything that God created for good, Satan comes along and twists it for sinful purposes. And so if our curiosity leads us to seek out God and the truths in His Word and encourages us maybe to discover more about His creation and things that are beneficial to people and to life, well, hey, that's good stuff. But if our curiosity leads us to seek out into bear and disseminate harmful information, if you will, go digging up dirt on people or just reading things because, hey, did you hear what this person did, you know, then we've misused our natural instincts, okay? It could just be that people have, I don't know, maybe too much time on their hands, just like what the Apostle Paul wrote to people with, well, we could say the same problem in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, where he says, besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies saying things they ought not to. Now, he's talking about young widows there, but that could be anybody today with too much time on their hands. And I know people like that. And maybe you do too. All right. You need to be doing something. Get busy. All right, the second reason that people are drawn to gossip and slander might be because they're simply bored. There are actually probably, I didn't do a count, I'm going to say bazillion, okay? There are a lot of websites out there on the internet that cater to people who are bored, even some that are called, I'm bored, okay? Well, back in 1 Timothy 5 again, Paul connects idleness with gossips and busybodies. Think about it, people who are busy with good works don't have time to sit around gossiping or digging up slander or looking at stuff with foul language in it, okay? And so the old saying is true, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Third reason that people are drawn to gossip and slander might be because maybe they want to be the center of attention. And so for them, what they're doing is sort of a stroke to their ego. It makes them feel, you know, elevated as someone who's in the know of everything. Some people just feed off the attention of others, and they enjoy having others listen to them as they intently share the most up-to-date news about somebody. Did you hear about what so-and-so did? You know what they did? What you wouldn't believe. And you just go on to that, and people are like, they're fixed on you, and you just feed off of that, you see. Well, another reason that people are drawn to gossip and slander is because they believe it elevates themselves over others. Someone rightly noted that malicious speech comes from the central source of all sin, the promotion of self. So this person just wants to basically put others down so that way they look better. Okay, so the basic rule is, you know, that you hear people say is, you know, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. All right, but they just want to come across as looking better than they are, basically. All right. Another reason that people are drawn to gossip and slander is because, I don't know, maybe they're bitter, you know? So they use their words as a tool of revenge to get even with those who have hurt them. Maybe someone got picked over them for a position or a job or something, you know, or a lover is jilted. So they want to go ahead and come up with all kinds of dirt on this other person and spread these rumors and lies and stuff. Finally, people are drawn to gossip and slander as a way to soothe their own anxieties. In other words, if someone feels bad, then they want others to feel bad too, you know, or worse. The idea being that misery loves company, right? You know, but why? Well, you know, good news, about others just kind of heightens our own anxiety about their own problems. I think, man, I got it so bad. Oh, they've got it so good, all right? But if they can share bad news about others, then everybody, the playing field is leveled. Everything is bad. I'm terrible. Everything is great because they're terrible too. So we're equal. Actually, they're worse than I am, so I'm better than you. Okay? No matter the reason, though, whether it's to help try to soothe anxieties, people being the center of attention or promoting themselves or boredom or whatever it might be, all right, gossip and slander are not the kinds of words that God says his people are supposed to use. So just what does God say about being a whisperer? Well, simply put, God speaks very plainly throughout the scriptures about gossip and slander, and it shouldn't be a part of the life of a Christian. The first time that God warns his people about slander is in Leviticus 19 and verse 16, where God tells Moses to tell his people, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Very plain, very simple, very direct. And in the context of this, of course, this reminds us about the already murmuring and rather unhappy Israelite desert wanderers, right? Who are always looking back to the past and saying bad things about Moses. Just think about what they did during most of their travels. We only have some of it written in the scriptures. It just says they murmured, or they complained, or they whined. You know, they whispered, if you will, also, you know, things. And you could just kind of fill in the blanks. You could hear someone out there in the wilderness with Moses saying things like, hey, you didn't hear this from me, but I heard that Moses is going to be on his way out. Someone's going to take his place, you know. There are other men that could lead just as well. I heard about these other guys who want to take the position, you know. By the way, have you noticed how this one family over there is always out there first in the morning to get all that manna? Not that it makes any difference. Can't keep it. All right. Probably shouldn't mention it either, but, you know, there goes those rambunctious Azariah boys again, just causing trouble. And they just go on and on and on about things. And I don't know what they said. I mean, we just say, it just says that they murmured or they complained, but they're out there whispering about Moses. And we already know from the scriptures that there were people that, wanted Moses out of the picture and take his place. It's not too hard to come up with hypothetical scenarios like that, really. And that's because, sadly, it happens to God's people today. Over in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, Paul talks about the wrath of God that would be poured out on the ungodly. And in the chapter, he talks about the kinds of sins that characterize those who have abandoned God. Take a look there at what's included in the list of sins in Romans 1, 29 through 31. Paul writes, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. It's a pretty terrible list. And along in that list, of course, are gossip and slander as serious sin, just like, of course, all sin is serious to God. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we've looked at this passage a number of times over the past couple of weeks, but you remember that there Paul reminds the church at Corinth of the kinds of sins that they used to be involved in. And starting there in verse 9, he says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And that's what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. And so, again, we have slanderers on that list. He says, but that's what some of you were. And while slander may have been a part of a person's sinful past along with gossip, that's where it needs to stay, in the past, you know. Colossians 3 and verses 8 through 10 says it this way. It says that you must rid yourselves of all such things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And of course, that putting off the old and putting on the new happens when we become a Christian. So he's saying that's a part of your past. Leave it in the past. Live in the new. Romans 6 will talk about walking in newness of life. You know, all throughout the Bible, God talks about the dangers of gossip and slander. And I'm going to go through some of these quickly from Proverbs and the Psalms. They're not going to appear on the screen, but if you have a copy of the sermon notes, you could find them all there, okay? Over in the book of Proverbs, we're told that a gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Proverbs always has like a comparison between what's right and wrong, right? It's Proverbs 11, 13. Proverbs 20, 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Anyway, over in Proverbs 26, 20, we read that without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. I've said that to people before, arguing about things. They said, let it die. Just forget it, okay? Anyway, just a couple of verses down in the same proverb, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into a man's innermost parts. And back in Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Of course, that's gossip, right? God talks about slander too. Again, in the book of Proverbs in 10:18, he says that he who conceals his hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. In Proverbs 30:10, do not slander a servant to his master, or he'll curse you and you'll pay for it. And just one more, and this one's from over in the book of Psalms. This is Psalm 15 in verses 1 through 3, where David reflects upon those who are welcomed into the presence of the Lord. He says this, starting in verse 1. He says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless, and who does what is right? Who speaks the truth from his heart, and has no slander on his tongue? Who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man? So again, we see that those who are welcome into God's presence aren't those folks who slander or have slurs against his fellow man or does his neighbor wrong. So it's those people, you know, present who are blameless and who are doing right. Again, God has a lot to say about gossip and slander and how they're so destructive in a person's life. While at the same time, God again tells us that the one who doesn't gossip or slander is considered righteous. And that's really something to think about. So, is there ever a right time to whisper? Is there ever a right time to say things? You know, what I mean is, if we have true information, is it really okay to share that? Well, it really all depends. Really all depends. You see, we somehow think that if the information we have is true, then it's got to be okay to say. Got to be okay to share. Hit share, 50 friends, there we go, there we go. Everybody knows the truth about this. But you see, that's not always the case. Shouldn't always be sharing things about people. You see, the issue is not whether the information is true or false, it's whether or not it's harmful or confidential. Okay? For example, last week we talked about how lying is wrong. And while we don't want to be a part of spreading false rumors, we also don't want to be a part of spreading true rumors either. Okay? And so what Paul says to do in Ephesians 4:29 is a great guide for us. There he says again, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And so even if the information is true, I have to ask myself, why am I sharing that information? Think about it. Does the information need to be shared at all? You know? Does the person I'm sharing the information with need to know it? Still, sometimes people try to justify gossip and slander and spreading rumors under the disguise of concern for others. And someone might say, well, I hate to say something about this to you, but I'm concerned about so-and-so because of this and this and that. Or we might say, let me tell you something about someone so that you can know all about this, you know. Or we might say, I'm very troubled about so-and-so, and I don't know who else to talk to about it. Now, don't get me wrong, because there are times when the truth about others must be shared with a third party, you know. For example, if someone with suicidal thoughts confides in you, but you don't know how to handle it, and the person seems serious to you, by all means, go get help. Or maybe, hey, there's someone with a gun, and they're going to go shoot up somebody, they say. It happens in schools. It happens everywhere. If you see that, you know, that's an emergency. You know, you've got to tell somebody. You know, someone could be doing something that alarms you because it's very dangerous. Obviously, you go to a third party, you know. There are other emergencies and rare examples, of course, but they're usually far and few between. They're pretty rare. So when, then? Well, again, only if we first discussed it, maybe, with the person ourselves. Okay, well, this issue, you know, I'm going to have to talk to somebody else about this. Well, you know, I understand, you know. And then we should really, you know, of course, get their permission, right, when you do that. And even if we feel the need to approach someone in a leadership position, whether it's spiritual or secular, maybe it's a minister, an elder, or whatever, or a counselor, or you've got a police officer or somebody, right? You know, we still need to make sure that the person we're going to talk about is aware of what we're doing. Unless, of course, it's that guy with the gun over there. You know, you've got to be careful with him. All right. Not saying guns are bad, but I'm just saying if he's already said he's going to go kill people. Okay, all right. It's the person. Okay. So, you know, maybe another option would be to ask them if they would like to be present when you talk to this other person about this problem. Because we're trying to find help, right? The goal is finding help or preventing a problem. Okay. So we now know basically why people gossip and slander in general and what God says about it in our survey of the scriptures and how it almost always is not the right thing to do. So how do we stop that? How do we stop whispering? How do we stop gossiping and speak right? Speak like God wants us to. Well, from what we've seen about people's underlying reasons for gossip and slander, it seems to me that first, we need to maintain a humble and accurate view of ourselves. In other words, it's important for us to remember that we're all sinners saved by the grace of God, and that we often fail to live up to God's high standards. So that levels the playing field right there, okay? And since that's true, that means we have no right to pridefully look down on others or to try to knock them down. Only God is perfect, and so only God has the right to pass judgment or to put people in their place. Second, we need to walk in prayer. I'm borrowing something from that Hebrew word that we talked about before, that halak. So it's close to halah, which, you know, you've got this idea of halak about walking. But anyway, it's this idea of walking in prayer instead of walking in gossip, okay? I mean, you know, we really need to think about what we're going to speak before we do that. And one of the ways to do that is to maybe pray about things before we speak them. Like David says, we should pray. We should set a guard over our mouths, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Remember, we can always go to God in prayer about our concerns for others, about anything, really. We can pray about approaching people with our concerns about them, whether it's, you know, a problem or even salvation, whatever the need is. We can even pray about when a matter needs to be brought before those in a leadership position. Pray about it all, okay? Third, we need to make up our minds not to pass on that gossip and slander. And that can be kind of hard sometimes. It's the old, if you can't say something good about someone again, you know, then don't say anything at all philosophy. Think about it. If someone has confided in us something, you know, then they're doing that on a trust basis. And by breaching that and sharing that, you're breaching that trust. You know, so therefore we need to do our best to keep private matters private. And if for some reason we find a need to criticize someone, then we need to better do it to their faces, you know, with the intent on helping them. You know, you really didn't do that well, and here's what you want to do, and I do that, I'm telling you, because I care about you, not because you want to insult them, okay? It's basically the golden rule in practice, right? And so if we keep in mind how we want others to treat us and how we want others to talk to us and keep our secrets, if you will, then we will know that gossip and slander are things that we should never do to others, because we don't want others to gossip or slander about us. Finally, we need to make the conscious decision to not listen to other people's gossip and slander. All right? You know, some people like to think that just listening to gossip is okay because they don't pass it on. But it gets stored somewhere in there, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's going to slip out. But what we really need to do is just understand that listening to gossip is also wrong. Proverbs 17:4 says it this way: a wicked man listens to evil lips, a liar pays attention to malicious tongues. So just what do you do then in that situation? What do you say to someone who's about to pass on some gossip or slander? Well, I thought about a couple of different things that are truthful and honest and totally valid. I mean, you could ask them, well, have you talked to them about that? Or, are you sure that's true? Have you checked your sources? What you're telling me is true? Are you sure about that? Or maybe even pushing it to the edge, can I quote you on that? you know? Of course, if none of that works, then, you know, you could simply walk away in a very truthful way, saying, well, I really need to get back to work, or I need to go to the bathroom. And going to the bathroom is truthful. I'll admit maybe it's a tad deceptive, but you could be going in there to check your teeth for lunch. I don't know. But just excuse yourself from the situation, or just say, I'm sorry, I really don't want to talk about that. You know, just don't be a whisperer. It's not impossible to achieve. Remember, gossip and slander are not the kinds of words that God wants us to speak. Those kinds of words, again, are destructive and deadly. Instead, we need to make the conscious decision to avoid such words and speak only words of truth and life, the words that come from God himself. And God tells us in his word that his son Jesus speaks only words of truth, and it's only in him that we can have life. And so if there's anyone here who isn't a Christian and you'd like to be one today, all you need to do is simply believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your belief, turn to God in repentance accepting the life that Jesus has to offer you and confessing him as your Lord and Savior, you commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, you continue to live your life in faith to him. Or maybe you'd like for us to pray for you today. Maybe you're struggling with some gossip and slander issues, or maybe you have some other need that you'd like to share that we could help out with, or a problem or something like that. Whatever your need, I'd like to encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that Brian has selected.